Hello foodies and welcome back to the one and only Daily FIFA podcast. We are Food in Review. We bring you updates about the latest content, we talk players and review them, and of course, as a part of foodcoaching.com, we'll give you gameplay advice like tactics and instructions. Today is Tuesday, February 16th, and we are recording Season 3, Episode 95. My name is John, also known as Food Coaching, and of course, the show wouldn't be complete without the Norwegian legend. It's Yngvi. Hello, Yngvi.
Hello, John. Hello. How are you?
I feel like you're imitating me for some reason.
I inviting you to talk.
I put up a radio voice and you start talking weird to me. But hey, how you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, thanks. And you?
I was doing well, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, good. Awesome.
All right, I'm so glad we have a new co-host to present tonight.
Yes.
No,
nice,
but
things up.
Yeah, exactly. But without further ado, it is Yngvi, it is myself, but more important, it's my pleasure to introduce you all to none other than Tyler, also known as Pace Over Tortoise. Hello, Tyler.
Hey, John and Yngvi, great to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
No, not having you. You're part of our new crew. You're a crew member. It's good to have you on.
Yeah,
you anymore.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I was inspired by Paul yesterday in the pursuit of science, and I submitted the party bag, and you know, wah music can be queued up. I got the road to the final Diaby, who won't even make my team as a sub. So that's my entry into joining the crew.
Yeah, in the name of science.
I'll get someone to speak in a little bit of sound clip like for science. Next time. But that's a good start, Tyler. How are you doing? And can you quickly introduce yourself? Well, not quickly, but at least a bit short. Who you are and how you're going to help us out?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have been playing, you know, FIFA since probably FIFA 14. And then involved in, you know, Ultimate Team easily since maybe FIFA 17. And, you know, played weekend league off and on, but this year, you know, due to the pandemic, have played, you know, almost every weekend league so far this year. And so, yeah, I played this past weekend. We can definitely dive into it a little bit more. But I definitely consider myself a foot obsessive, you know, probably played close to 3,000 games, each of the last couple of years. And so have a lot of in-depth knowledge of all facets of the game on squad battles, objectives, as well as weekend league and pretty much anything else that EA wants to throw at us.
That, and you speak better English than we do.
That's right. I am an American. So, you know, you can consider me the loudmouth American voice of the podcast. I'll try to fight Andrew off to keep that as, you know, my pride and joy of what I can bring to the show.
Andrew says in chat, you're also known as the left coast hippie.
That's right.
We might find a new nickname for you already. No, it's a pleasure to have you on, Tyler. And in the near future, you'll be hosting the show as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. You know, looking forward to it and, you know, further engagement with everyone in the community. So, it's great to be a part of it, and I've already enjoyed chatting with folks in the Discord.
Awesome. It's good to have you aboard. I think we have a complete crew now. And if you are wondering, talking about a crew, where Dan is, we hope to have Dan at least on for a little voice message shortly, but he's due to expect a new little one. So, well, we gave him off to make sure he can be available when needed. So he's probably going to need a bit of time when that happens. But as long as everyone is going to be all right, just enjoy it. And we hope to have at least a voice message from him soon. All right, Yngvi. It's content time.
It is.
Take it away. And Tyler, join the gang.
So we got a few SBCs tonight.
We were expecting a little bit Champions League stuff, and we got one-ish, kind of, called Off the Woodwork. Course comes in at around 5 to 7K to do. You get a rare Electrum Players pack. Unfortunately, it's untradeable, so, well, keep that in mind if you want to throw your players into that. You need minimum 4 nationalities, maximum 3 from the same league, minimum 1 UEFA Champions League common or rare player, minimum 75 rated team and 85 team chemistry. So it's not difficult to do, but keep in mind it's an untradeable pack you get as a reward. So it's a pass for me. I'm not a fan of those untradeable ones at the moment. Because I would have to buy a few players. I've used up too many in different SBCs.
Tyler, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, I'm at a point where, like, all of my club is completely drained by doing all of these 81 player picks. And, you know, now there's the new, like, 83 plus. And I basically have no cards left in my club. And I'm one not to really bother myself to have to go out and buy cards off the market to fulfill these daily content SBCs. So I'll probably stay away from this one, given that it's, you know, returning untradeable rewards.
Yeah. I'm skipping anyways because I don't have. As I said, I don't think I've got the cards in my club to actually do SBCs at all anymore. And on the other hand, there's better SBCs on there now. So, yeah, I'm all right.
And we got a new flashback, kind of hope slash expected one today. And EA delivered, thankfully. We got a flashback. Stefan El Sharabi celebrating his prolific 2012-2013 Serie A season. So that SBC is around 275K to do. There's 3 sections with tradable packs, which is nice, of course. The first one is called Rising Star. You need 1 player from Milan. You need minimum 80 rated team and 75 team chemistry. You would get a prime mixed players pack, and the SBC would cost you around 12 to 15K to do. So not too bad. Next one is called Il Faraone. You need 1 player from Italy, minimum 84 rated team and 70 team chemistry. You get a tradable prime Electrum players pack, and that SBC would cost you around 9,505K to do. And the last is called League Finesse. You will have to do it with minimum 1 Serie A player, minimum 85 rated team and 65 team chemistry. You get a prime gold players pack, and it should cost around 155-165k to do. So in total, that card would cost you around 270k or 280k to complete. And you get a quite cool 88 rated left winger, plays for Roma now. On foot, he just recently moved back to Italy after being in the Chinese league for a while. And EA upgraded his weak foot to 4-star, which is of course nice, and he has the 5-star skill moves.
He had 5-5 in the past, right? I'm not dreaming.
Maybe when he was a silver.
Yeah, I think
so. I'm not sure if he got it when he was a gold player.
But I'm pretty sure at least was his weak foot went back this year.
When he was a 73 rated silver player for AC Milan, he had double 5-star. That's when I started using him and with all the silver.
That's probably why I remember him as well.
So and then he got 4-star the next year as a 76 rated gold card. So he's been a little bit 4-star, and I think the one I remembered the best after was in FIFA 17 when we got the premium SBC when he was a cam. He also had 5-star skill moves and 4-star weak foot then. And I remember that the nice strong link, or actually perfect link, to the same type premium SBC Francesco Totti. So I had those two cards, and that was great fun to use both those players. So there's a little bit of nostalgia in this.
He's like Arjen Robben, but actually good, by the way.
Yeah, right? Like, this is a really good-looking card, right? I mean, he's 5-star skills, 4-star weak foot. He's got finesse and flare shot, or sorry, finesse shot and flare traits.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you know, great links of if you're using a Serie A squad, or if you have a Zola or a Del Piero, you know, can easily fit him in. I think you're getting a really good card here if he makes your team. And definitely for folks who have that nostalgia factor of using him from prior years, I think EA did a good job on releasing this card, something that'll make a lot of people in the FIFA community happy. So I'm happy to see it.
And this is good news for John as well. You know, if you put El Shaarawy in 4-5-1 at the start, and then you get a strong, you don't get a strong link to Diego Dalot, but you could have if you played for AC Milan. But he links to Dalot. Of course, you get a strong link if you have done the Tonali card. Then there's a strong link there.
Yeah, only thing, he fits. He's linkable with Ronaldo, right? So
yeah, he's linkable to
fine.
He's strong link to Mkhitaryan. I have Mkhitaryan headliner card.
Yes, so that's nice. Which is actually a really cool card and actually rose quite a bit. So just saw.
Yep. So that's a cool link as well. I used to like those El Shaarawy cards. Really good on the ball, nimble and good dribble and shoot, of course. And it looks like he got a good upgrade now as well, with 86 stamina as well, which is nice. And 94 curve without any boost at all. 99 agility, 90 balance, which is nice. 93 dribbling. So some really good base stats right there. And I think he's got more in-game stats than the flashback Ribéry, which is 3-4 times the price almost as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is... I really like this card though.
Yeah,
I have I can actually fit him, but I have to rebuild the whole squad and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. There's only one thing I don't like about it, quite honestly.
Medium.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, well, you know me so well, Yngvi. Oh.
I read your mind almost.
No, but that's it, really. Because if this card would have even high attacking or high defensive, either of those, right? You can actually use him, I'm going to say the nasty word, in a 5-3-2 or in a 3-5-2 as a winger really well, actually.
Yep.
Now, I'm not too sure, quite honestly, because 86 stamina, medium. He is a pure attacker now.
Cam, he'll probably play wide as well, of course, but I think he would be really good as a cam or center forward.
Yeah, but for me, there's no way he, for example, replaces Dybala. I think that's it.
No, Dybala is medium as well, so
exactly, but then he's still Dybala.
So. Yeah, you're a little bit biased. But that's fair enough. They are, Dybala is a little bit higher total in game and stuff. But yeah, Dybala is 3-star weak foot as well, and 4-star skill moves.
Yeah, so probably Dybala isn't as good as El Shaarawy, but it's Dybala.
Yeah, you know, those Juventus links also are probably going to sway John's opinion. But I think if someone was like starting their team from scratch, they might look El Shaarawy's way. But if you've already committed to that Dybala card, he seems to always do me in weekend league. So I think you've got a good card there too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's it. But nevertheless, it is even a card which I'm in doubt of doing. Would be in doubt of him. I won't do him because that fear of missing out already made me do Jones. So there's no way I'm actually going to do this again. In my right mind. So please tell me. But it is actually a very good SBC in my honest opinion, with a very reasonably priced tag. good value, very good card. And this is, I mean, Genocide Delt was really good as well, so I think this is twice in a row that I'm really happy with what they put out.
And this is a really good SPC, I think. A little bit of nostalgia as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, I don't care about nostalgia, because, no. I mean, we get... You sent me a message this morning, but if you have a look, how many players have overlapped with previous version of FIFA? How many special cards? And there was like a miniature image with, I don't know, 90 cards or something in, with players which are reused like almost yearly as a something special. So I don't care about nostalgia, but it is really good card. It is very good value. And yeah, if you already did Tonali this week, that's a good one to combine them with.
Absolutely.
Thumbs up, definitely, guys, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep, absolutely. I think we'll be seeing him a lot over the next couple of weeks.
That's also what I'm afraid of. But on the other hand, with Robin, I didn't care. With him, I'm a bit like, not quite sure if I'm going to enjoy this. We'll
There's
see.
There's already a review out from guess who?
I don't want to mention anyone on the pod who puts out reviews after a day.
Yeah.
After an hour. So, I mean, that's just get to get clicks, and I don't want to push traffic there because I don't think it's well built up as well and stuff.
More than an hour, I think, to be able to feel like you.
I think like, the thing like is everything that's new probably feels good, right? that goes for cars. probably goes for other things as well. By the way, thinking about it, I won't mention that on the show, but it's also with cards. You get a player the first day, he feels great. Second day, you start to notice what the problem might be, and suddenly nobody plays Robin anymore. So, I would hold off for a review, but I'm definitely interested if you guys want to do it to give us a review for it.
I am considering it.
You will do it, but you usually take until the last day to actually pull the trigger.
I always need to see if there's anything that I might need for get an icon SPC. That would be nice to. Well, it all depends on who we get, but if we get like a Dalglish or something, Cruyff SPC dreaming, then of course I would prefer to do that and not El Shaarawy.
Exactly, yeah, okay. We won't get.
But we have 13 days to do the El Shaarawy, so there's not any hurry.
No, that's true. Oh, well, we all agree it is a good card, but we did get some more objectives as well, right?
We got some new objectives, not an Academy player, which I hoped for as well. I'm a little bit demanding today, but maybe we'll. I'm pretty sure we'll get a third.
Maybe Tyler can get rid of that. Well, he's taken off the show for some episodes.
I'm pretty sure we'll get another Academy player, maybe tomorrow or Thursday. I don't know, but we usually at least we got three last year. And
yeah, Thursday would be my guess. I think they mentioned three, no?
I'm not sure.
Or is that in my mind because we got last year as well? That could be it.
Could be, but we got some objectives, so that's we have objectives to work with the Academy ones, but I think we didn't get the three at the same time last year, did we? Do you remember, Tyler?
They were released on separate days last year, like the Osimhen, the Odegaard, and James. I don't think we've heard officially that we're getting three. I think it's an assumption that we're all making based off of last year.
Did we get four last year? We got the Saniolo as well, didn't we?
The who?
Saniolo, the Roma player. Wasn't it Saniolo?
You might be right. Oh, man. Mr. FIFA database does it again. We got four last year. Yeah. Why am I stuck with three in my mind? I don't know. But hey.
Yeah. We should get at least three then.
You also said we got Footmas, so I would...
That was a little bit corrupted database. Well, everybody thought we were going to get Footmas, but...
I'm kidding.
We got the freeze at least.
That's fair.
But we got some kind of returning objectives as well. Weekend League Plus. So if you play Weekend League and you win 10 matches, then you will get a player pick containing... one of 3 foot champions players from Team of the Week 21. That's the Team of the Week that's released tomorrow. And if you win 16 matches, then you get a player pick containing one out of 4 foot champions player from Team of the Week 21. And if you are as good as almost the pros and John, you win 22. You get another player pick containing one out of 5 foot champions player from Team of the Week 21. So,
talk about this objective, though. We got a sent in question about it.
Oh, cool.
Talking food, of course, our dear friend John, who's going to be on the show tomorrow, by the way, sends in a question. What are you guys' thoughts on these Weekend League Plus extra picks? While the idea is great, I think it should be there all the time or not at all. Just from someone that has limited Weekend League time, and I chose last week and not this week without prior knowledge. If it has been public, I would definitely have swapped weekends. What is your take on that, Tyler?
I certainly see John's point on, you know, preferring to have greater notice. But I also see EA's point of like wanting to release surprise content, you know, to keep people excited all the time, of knowing that they kind of have to have a continuous content schedule to keep things exciting and engaging for people. And so, you know, while I can sympathize with that being, you know, less, you know, satisfying for John and his situation, I do think overall it will probably lead to more people playing this Weekend League than otherwise would have, which is ultimately what EA is looking for. And I'm sure that's something that they balance out of, you know, how strong of a team of the week do they make versus when they offer these rewards. It's probably something that they're always trying to balance and consider. But overall, I would rather them release this than not. And so I think at the end of the day, I have to be happy that they added it into the game versus it never being on offer at all. And of course, the more we know in advance, probably the better that makes us, or happier that makes us in our engagement with the game. But then we also probably get bored if they're not releasing other new content. And so I do think that's why EA kind of holds off and only releases it, you know, kind of the week of.
Point.
Good point. I think that's a solid answer. So there you go, Joom. Thanks for sending in that question.
There are some more questions?
Yeah, I'm thinking. We got another question, but I'm not sure if it's a good time to think about it. I think knowing what Tyler wanted to bring on the table, I actually am going to postpone this question until we talk about that. So what else did we got?
Okay, cool. Yeah, I listened to the pod yesterday. It was great, but it sounded like, you know, none of you got to play the full Weekend League. And so I did. And I just wanted to give a little bit of review of that, but then also kind of tee up something that made me aware of in my gameplay, and, you know, open that up for some additional discussion. And so to start off, you know, this past weekend, I ended with a 14-14 record, so, you know, made it to gold 3. But I would categorize that as a pretty poor performance for me. And there was a big takeaway I had over the course of the weekend, which is really I need to develop a mental fitness routine for when I play online. And, you know, a little bit more context about my own gameplay. 2 weekends ago, I played and went 14-6, so had quite a bit better performance, at least in terms of efficiency of games having to play to reach that gold 3. And then we had Team of the Year happen, and I was fortunate enough, like John, for his daily mention of Team of the Year CR7.
You picked him tradable, though. No, I did untrade.
Exactly. So I was ridiculously lucky to pack a tradable version, which I promptly sold and then bought.
Sorry. Can you say that one more time? You packed CR7. I don't care if it's tradable. You did what?
I put him on the market. You know, I inflated his price. Because he was fresh, you know, people will pay a premium for an unused version of the card. And so I sold him for about 200,000 coins above what he was going for as the cheapest buy it now on the market.
Anthony, can we still trade in our new co-host?
And all this is to say, you know, a week before Team of the Year, went 14-6. I then injected 9 million coins into my team. And so I had all these very grand ambitions and excitement around what I was going to be able to accomplish in this weekend league. And then fast forward to Saturday night, I found myself playing. I was already 11-8 and, you know, already behind where I thought I should be. And I had actually lost that eighth loss in a game where I felt like I gave up a cheap goal. A guy did a bridge dribble, went straight to my Mendy, who is Ferland Mendy, playing center back. And then a striker just ran right into Mendy and picked the ball off of him and scored an easy goal for the winner. In that moment, I was frustrated. I couldn't believe that it happened, you know, again. And then I came up with this really, really stupid plan of like, okay, I'm going to play my next games and just quit if I am trailing and I feel like I've given up a cheap goal. And I was like, in my mind, I rationalized this as, you know, if I take a loss, it'll be quick. It'll drop my ELO, which will make my matchmaking easier. I'll start playing easier opponents and be able to get to this gold three really quickly. And I promptly went from 11-8 to 11-12. And in the next game that I was playing, I finally played a game where I was like, oh, I'm clearly much better this opponent. I'm going to get an easy win here. Went 2-0 up. Then in the second half, some switch happened and, you know, gave up another couple of cheap goals. And at that point in time, we're tied 2-2, probably 60th minute. And I paused the game and I quit out of a game that was tied in weekend league. And I just found myself like, wow, like, what did I just do? Like, one, that's like super toxic behavior. Like, I could envision like my opponent being like, what the heck just happened? Like, I scored an equalizing goal and the guy quits. Like, you know, what a chump. And I just like realized like, wow, I've like gotten myself so worked up into this game and so like auto-focused on quitting when something bad happens in this game that I really led myself into this like, you know, quick negative place. And so I've kind of just, I stopped playing after that. So I was like 11-13. I went back and played on Sunday night and, you know, got myself to 14-14, which I had mentioned. But ultimately what this has helped me realize is I need to like bring a mental fitness routine to playing so that I'm actually like not letting myself get into this space where I'm just looking for like something bad to happen that's going to like trigger me and give me this rage and want to quit. It's like, and what I think I need to do is just have like, you know, if you ever listen to professional athletes, they talk about how they kind of have a pre-match routine where they, you know, they go through the same motions and get themselves mentally prepared for what they're about to experience. I actually feel like that's something that I want to bring forward in my game. And I notice, you know, a lot of folks in the FIFA community also share a lot of frustrations and moments where they get triggered. And, you know, the whole purpose of me sharing this story is to, one, help people realize that they're not alone. Like, there are many, many other people who go out there and play weekend league or play rivals and have bad things happen to them. They get frustrated. They get mad at the game. But really what I'm ultimately here trying to do and share the story is like, I want to put myself on a path to try to move past that. And how do I put myself back in control of my gameplay experience? And so first, you know, I thought I would open it up, would love to hear, you know, John, you're obviously a foot coach and the mental component of playing is definitely a big part of the game. But it's something that over the course of time, as I continue to host this podcast with you guys, I want to continue to provide updates and, you know, share with some folks my journey and maybe you provide some tips and things that will help people kind of pull themselves out of that negative experience. And so I just thought I'd, you know, share that experience that I had this week in league and then, you know, look forward to making it better for the future.
Yeah. So you want to contribute something first thing for you or shall I go out?
No, I think it's cool to try to look at things a little bit different than most people do, I think. So I don't think everybody is aware about how important the mental aspect of the game actually is and how you approach this mentally.
Yeah,
because so much can go wrong if you go in with the wrong attitude and you'll lose both matches and your happiness, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm going to do a bit of self-promotion maybe as well, though, so forgive me for that. So you said already, I got some experience with that. I'm, of course, from a athlete background. You wouldn't say it if you see me these days, but it's true. And one of the things I built in the food coaching programs, which I usually train with the pros or with the guys that take up the full program from me, it is the adaptability and the mentality side of things. I built certain programs for that. And I did a podcast episode about it, actually. I think I can link it in this description of this episode with just some short tips how to stay cool. Like, skill is very important, of course, but the only reason, for example, I can make sure I can get good performance is the way how I act mentally. I won't get tilted, at least not by playing anymore. I won't, like, tilt myself. I know I can analyze it during the match. There are certain routines which I build into my play, but also into my life, which makes sure I can always start stress-free or relaxed. I can, for example, concede 3 goals really shortly with crappy goals, you name it, all the scripting, which everyone says, stuff like that. But I can still relativate that and say, okay, you know what? I saw this happening. This is how he scores. I don't think he has a plan B. If I should do this, I still have 17 minutes to come back. So let's go for it. And I can still be able to turn those matches around. And that is training. That is routine. There are some really easy tips to do it. I won't throw them all in here, right? I think, Tyler, like you said, it's something you should be able to explore on this show as well. But I could definitely give them to you to take into exploration. But like, timing is very important when you play your matches. I ran a coaching program with a friend of the show, Chris, for example. And I gave him some, like, you start a match off, right? Write down a face, a smiley. You put a smiley down on paper, say, oh, I start this match happy. After the match, you put a smiley face down. Oh, this was frustrating. Put in a red smiley face. And if you start your next match with that same red smiley face, you don't start your next match. It's as easy as that. You plan it, you talk about it at home, and until that smiley face goes yellow again, that's when you need to start your next match again. Simple things like that. As long as you realize what you're doing and in which state you're in, that is a very easy thing which everyone knows, because you know when you're getting frustrated, Tyler. The moment you say, I'm going to get a quickly a goal 3, you know it's going to be a tough one. It's the same like driving a car, right? Whenever you look, wherever you're looking at, it's probably the way you're steering it. If you're looking for bad things happening in this game, you will notice bad things happening in this game. One of the main reasons we ever started this podcast was we were tired of being we were tired of being negative and want to start a community that is critical but always stays positive and looks on the bright side. And if you're steering towards the bright side of the road, right, and the road where there's no snow ahead, you'll probably have a much safer trip. And I think that's crucial, which I of course do with the pros and with the programs, but I'm always willing to share on this podcast as well. And I think that's it. The only reason I can get a lead too, for example, it's not my skill. I mean, I'm that old and I'm ancient. I'm slow. You're called a pace of a tortoise online, Tyler. But I'm like, if you see me playing, I'm that, right? But I don't get tilted. I think that's it. I'm very trained on that part. And that wasn't always the case as well. So that's very trainable as well. And the better the players are, like the more talent they have naturally, the easier it is to get them off their feet, I've noticed. At least when I guide pro players, or at least players that play like FIFA for a living. Because there's much pressure on those guys as well, and it's a very underrated part, not only of the game, but also of the whole esports scene, which now people start to realize. So I think 70% of what I'm doing with food coaching is just this part, actually the coaching part. That was a bit of my rant, though.
No, that was really helpful, John. Thank you for sharing. And I think a couple pieces of what you said there really resonate, you know, as I look back onto my weekend experience, they really resonate for me. You know, first one is as simple as you mentioned timing. You know, due to my weekend schedule, I was playing most of the games like late Saturday night. So I would start at 10 p.m. at night, my time, and then play until 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, you find yourselves in those matches, you know, very, you know, late into the night, early morning, and you're getting tired. You're not really your best self. And so I think it's easier to start making mental mistakes there due to the timing. So that was a really great call out. And one of the things I was thinking that would be really helpful touches on, you know, the smiley face factor that you kind of mentioned. I think as I look at like how I want to develop a pre-match routine, it's really to like create a checklist with myself of, you know, walking through like what are the, whether I haven't written the checklist yet, but let's say it's 3, 5, 10 things that I want to make myself conscious of and aware of to really be present for the moment for the match that I'm about to play. I think something like, you know, a mental health check-in that would be similar to like what you're talking about, that smiley face. Like if you can't put yourself in that mental state, then you're probably not in a place to actually go out and play that game. And so that's something that I'm definitely going to look to add to this upcoming weekend league.
Yeah, and those are things everyone can do, right? The next step is getting on your peak performance, like getting into the zone. But that's the next step. But you can't even get there when you're not starting out on the right foot. Like I said, yeah, it's a topic dear to my heart. Like it's like I talk about that every single day with a lot of players. But it can be as easy as breaking routines. I had a pro player last week that was very easily tilted off his feet, right? So if he was confident, it's one of the best players I've ever seen, honestly. I've asked if he wanted to come to the show, by the way, so I'm not naming anyone now, but maybe he can tell the story himself. But before they start the competition matches, right, and they play friendlies versus each other. And they say, if I lose those matches or get easily defeated, I don't go into the proper league match with confidence. So I've asked them, why do you actually play those matches then? Right? And the answer was, well, everyone does that. Yeah, but apparently if it goes wrongly, you start with like with a bad feeling in your match, you're putting on the red smiley face again before you actually start. Why don't you, I don't know, play Call of Duty for all I care before you actually start the league? You don't need to have to do that match to get better at FIFA because you're already good. You don't need it to warm up because it's all muscle memory and you know your plans, you've practiced. So now you just play Call of Duty because it calms him down for a FIFA match. If that's breaking the habit, if that's enough, it is enough. It's as simple as that. It can be as simple as that, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking for some inspiration in this quest, and you know, I use Calm, which is like a mindfulness meditation app. And LeBron James, you know, the great NBA basketball player, has a partnership where he has a series on there about mental preparation and managing emotions. And he has a quote within one of those segments that says, "Before you can win the game on the court, you need to win the mental and emotional game in your mind." And I think that's, you know, something that really rang true for like where things went wrong for me in this. And I think very synonymous with what you just explained.
Awesome. I think it's a cool subject to dive into more. And I think if you're listening to the show and you want something to weigh in, send in a question or a comment or a voice message. Or ask Tyler and we might get you on the show actually. Depends on how good your questions is.
But yeah, look forward to talking more about this with everyone. Definitely feel free to reach out to me in the Discord or on Twitter. And, you know, we can move on from there. John, I know you said you had another question from somebody to tee up for discussion.
Yeah, well, definitely. So we got a sent-in question by Andy Einels, which probably isn't his own name, but he said, "Can I ask a question for the show? When did patience build up and moving forward but not deliberately wasting time become a bad thing? It was fine till golden goal came along. Now if I don't play complete attacking, I'm the one who is spoiling the game. I actually think this is FIFA is one of the best since Foot Lounge, but it's been ruined by the players and not by the players playing and not the gameplay itself. It's just a thought. Also, I'm driving 1500 kilometers Friday, so be awesome to have this message answered." So there you go. I think it goes, that's why I was thinking it's about the same thing. It is to do with mentality. It is your mindset before you start it. If your mindset is that you don't care about what other people think about how you play, right? You turn the messages off. you play your own game and it, you have fun. It's still a game. You enjoy the way you want to enjoy it. If that isn't working, we can always help out with that. But if don't feel forced to do anything you do not want to do in this game. Period. I won't play squad battles if I don't really want to. I'm not going to unlock objective play, which I know I won't use, because that will put me in a worse mental state. Just not going to put myself into it. It's a game. I want to have fun. And I think that's an important thing. And that goes with what you said as well, Tyler. If you do this, if you do the objectives and you get three messages and you can't play your own game, you feel like, and there's another message coming, you probably will be tilted. And then people start asking you, why are you playing this shitty way or anything like that? Just do it for yourself. I think that's the most important thing. What do you think about that? Let me start with Ingvi.
Yeah, I agree. If I play the game for fun, I want to have fun when I play. I'm not going to play a way that people think is the right way to play the game. I play the game how I feel is the way that works best for me, that I have fun with. I try to play more real-life football type of matches when I play, more realistic type of goals, because I'm not that good of a skiller and stuff like that. I don't try to chase the meta at all. I use players that I like in real life and players that I get on with. I can try a meta player, but if he doesn't work, then I sell him. I don't care if I lose coins. I'm going to use players that works for me, not players that works for the pros and YouTubers and streamers and everybody else. I don't see any reason why I should force myself to do something like that. I tried to before, and that got me into, as you said, a mental state that I didn't want to be in. And when I changed that approach, I started enjoying playing FIFA much more as well. If strange things happen, I laugh, I get on with it. If I feel a little bit tilted, then I can take 5 minutes and it's gone. So,
or we text each other, that helps.
Yeah, I'll complain a little bit to you as well sometimes when I'm really frustrated. But if you don't have fun, don't play the game. It's absolutely not worth going through pain to play a game. If it's not fun, just stop. Take a break and maybe try later, but don't push yourself. You're going to feel really bad afterwards, and it's not worth it. Talk to some friends, do something fun. I don't know, watch a funny movie, listen to some music or mindfulness or whatever helps for you. Don't force yourself to do anything that you don't feel like doing. That it's totally not worth it at all.
Tyler, any other thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the thing I'd add, like, by the nature of the question, it made it sound to me like this person used time wasting as a strategy to win a game and then likely received some kind of, you know, rage message afterwards. And I think I would just echo, like, you know, you can't be too concerned with what other people are thinking, because there's an infinite number of things in this game that people will criticize you for, you know, whether it's time wasting, it's playing the 5-3-2, it's using team of the year cards, it's celebrating, it's, you know, the fact that you used a bridge dribble. Like, there are so many things that people will get upset about and call you a rat for doing. And it's like, you know, you have the right to play the game that you see fit and the way that's enjoyable for you. And I just don't think you should put too much stock in what other people are saying. And, you know, at the highest level, you see someone like Anders, who went, what, like 536 games in a row. And if during the course of those 536 wins, at the 70th minute, he decides to time waste to not risk giving up and conceding a goal, like, that's his right. Like, he's played enough to be able to play the way that he thinks is most successful. I just don't see the point in, you know, letting yourself get triggered or upset by what other people are saying. And so echo what both John and Ingvi said.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with the way you play, period, no matter what anyone tells you. No matter what, just make sure those people pay focus on their own play, I'd say.
Yep. We got a good question as well.
Should?
From Alex. He says, imagine you guys have split up your games and you just start your 5-game Saturday and you lose the first 2 or 3. What would your advice be?
I probably won't answer this for Alex, if I'm quite honest. And I said, what? Why would he need to do that? So Alex is one of the players, I can actually name it because he's sending the question, who's running the food coaching program. So for him specifically, I would give him an other answer now. But usually, just a summary answer, which I also mentioned in the podcast episodes, which we talked about peak performance, right? Every loss is a loss, and every loss you take a little bit of a hit. And every loss makes that smiley face go a bit more redder. And sometimes just a tiny bit, but if it's all on performance, what you're going at, it is time for a little break before you start the next one. You need to evaluate what's going wrong, what's going up, before you start the next one. And if you're confident there was nothing you could change, well, let me go again. But it is different from each player, though. I think personally I'm well able to take a loss and just continue on my same way, not get affected by it anymore. But that requires some years of practice as well. So usually my general advice would be, if you lose one, take at least 10 minutes off before starting the new one. Tyler?
Yeah, I unfortunately wrong example. Have a lot of experience. Well, no, I would say, you know, I mentioned I've played most weekend leagues this year, and I would guess probably 75% of those I lose my first game of the weekend league. Like, there's, you know, obviously something wrong with my approach to doing that. I almost now maybe come to expect it too much. But I think it's part of it. Like, you're so early in the weekend league cycle, like 30 games is a lot. Like, I don't really, you know, I'm obviously playing to gold three. Like, if you're trying to like break into a lead or, you know, higher ranks, like maybe every one of those games matters a bit more to you. But I don't put a whole lot of stock in any one or two games. But if you think that it's pushed you off of your mental focus, then you definitely should stop and take a break. I obviously need to work on that. And that's what I've kind of said here within this podcast episode to make my primary focus. But aside from that, I think, you know, just try not to take it too seriously. Like, this, at the end of the day, this is just a game. And we all have to just try to keep our composure.
Definitely. Thanks for that. You're definitely right. I always say it's better to do one good match than to rush three matches. The result probably be better in the end. If I have time, if I don't have able time, I'm probably much better off trying to play 17 matches and go with a good amount of wins those 17 matches than try to rush 30, knowing I don't have time, pushing that pressure already on myself, because the result in the end will actually just be the exact same. So why not do it the easy way?
And less stressful way.
Exactly, yeah. Cool. I'm really looking forward to you taking this topic to another level and more in depth on the next shows. Tyler?
All right, yeah, thank you. I look forward to doing it as well.
Awesome. But for now, it is game over for tonight. Nah, in all seriousness, it's been almost an hour, so I think it's time for us to leave it there. We got some good content. We got some awesome guests coming this week. Tomorrow, like I said, John at Talking Food will join us. Thursday, and I wouldn't normally have a drum roll on one of my buttons, but I don't. So there is going to be a special guest. It's been a while. You probably remember him. Stephen Valens, also known from the What the Food podcast, my previously co-host from the show, will join us Thursday, Ingvi. So that's going to be a cool episode again.
Nice.
And Friday, it's just going to be you, me, and maybe Andrew joins. So let's see if that goes through. But yeah, we've got a full house this week. Guest every single day. Nice topics. And you'll be back shortly as well, Tyler.
For sure.
Going to give you a steady day or a steady set schedule. We're working on that. Or a separate show even. Anyways, we'll figure that out. But for now, welcome to the team. It was lovely having you here on the first night. Definitely not the last night. Before you know, we're going to celebrate your 100th episode.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. Thanks, John.
For people that want to get in touch with you, Tyler, where can they find you?
The best way to find me is on Twitter, at Pace of a Tortoise.
Yes, and don't worry, we will put that into the description for not native English speakers. I can't type it as well, but these days you're in my short shortcuts. Ingvi, everyone knows it, of course, but where could they find you if they still want to help, get your help?
They can find me on Twitter at evgnoli. They can find me on the EA forums at littlelon95, and of course Discord at littlelon95.
Brilliant. I just thought I would say awesome now, right? I need to mix it up a bit. I've been listening back to these episodes and I figured out that over the last 200 and I don't know, 30 episodes, I've been saying awesome every time you said where we can find you. So I need to switch that around. Awesome. You can find the show. Yeah. You can find the show on all podcast services around the world, of course. And you can find us on anchor.fm/footandreview. You can leave us voice messages. And of course, what we really appreciate is that you leave us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast, because that really helps us to be found. If you are listening to the show and you do not like the show, just put in 5 stars, but leave us some feedback so we can work with that. Of course, you can find us on socials as well, all on Foot in Review, everywhere, basically. And you can find me for all coaching-related matters at Foot Coaching on social and on footcoaching.com, where, and I'm going to say it again because I got this question this afternoon again, you can also find all the Foot in Review merchandise we have. And if that's not enough, you want to be part of our community or like support the show or do both, you can go to patreon.com/footandreview and help us out there and join our little group on Discord. That's it for now. So tomorrow, John's going to be here. For now, I am going to drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
Drop it.
F-U. 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 T. 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 In view. F-U. T.